So I thought we'd take the opportunity tonight, since it is quasi-Pesach Sheni, depending exactly how you define Pesach Sheni. The truth is that the Shechitas of Pesach took place during the day, but the Achilas HaKor Pesach, the Achilas Matzah Mor, actually took place tonight. So it's still apropos to discuss a little bit about the Sugya Pesach Sheni, but rather than talking Sugyas and Kachim, I thought we would try to extract one or two nekudos, one or two important points from the Sugya Pesach Sheni that very much plays a relevant role halach l'mais even for us today. So the sugya begins in the kutcher part of the sugya, and first of the Mamakomos, the sugya that appears in the ninth parak of Maseches Pesachim. And after Tzadi Gimel and Aleph, the ninth parak of Pesachim is dedicated actually to the halachas of Pesach Sheni for the most part. So the Braisa tells us the following, Tesanya, Gershin is Gaya ben Shnei Pesachim. What if you have a person who wasn't Jewish for Pesach Risha? He converted in the last month, or Vechen Kotet Shehuta ben Shnei Pesachim, or a child who turns bar mitzvah in between the 2 months. I guess if you lived in the times of Beis Hamikdash, this would be the drush every bar mitzvah boy would give. As man is there, every kid talks about what happens about Sfiras Omer. But in the old days, what happened to Korban Pesach? So what's the shaila? So the shaila is, of course, we all know for the Psukim that there's a concept of Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is the makeup, is the tashlumen for Pesach Rishon. But here you have a strange situation, because here you have a person who wasn't even obligated in Pesach Rishon, either because he wasn't Jewish, or because he wasn't over the age of bar mitzvah. So does it make any sense to have Pesach Sheni for the person who anyway wasn't really supposed to be bringing Pesach Rishon? What's the halacha? So the Braisa begins by telling us that Chayev Lasas Pesach Sheni Divrei Rebbe. So Rabbi Yudanossi is of the opinion that these two individuals are obligated to bring Pesach Sheni. Rabbi Nosson was a contemporary of Rabbi Nosson, he was from Bava, Rabbi Nosson Abavli. So he was the bar plukt of Rebbe in many things. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Kol shezoch l'rishon zochok l'sheni, kol she'ein zochok l'rishon ein zochok l'sheni. Rabbi Nosson said, no, that only somebody who was obligated to bring Pesach Rishon but wasn't able to, either because they were tamei or they were b'derech v'choyka, they were in a far trip, far away, as the Pesachim described, such a person is obligated in Pesach Sheni. A person who wasn't obligated in the first place, because they weren't Jewish, or because they weren't bar mitzvah, then there's no requirement whatsoever. So b'may kamifli, what's the nekudas ha-machlokes? We would say, if we were a Shiva saying a Shiva, b'may kamifli, what's the alumnus, what's the nekudas ha-machlokes? So the Amoraim explained to us, what are they arguing about? Rebbe's opinion is, sheni rego b'fnei atzmehu, b'nasin sava sheni tashlum d'rishon hu, a very lomdus ha-machlokes, hadalim shad in Pesach Rishon, hadalim shad in Pesach Sheni. So the Torah in Parshas Balosch describes the scenario of a person who missed Pesach Rishon, so he has the opportunity to bring Pesach Sheni. Yesh lachor, one could raise a chakira, lomdash chakira, as to what the nature of the relationship between the first Pesach and the second Pesach is. So one can understand that it's sheni regel b'fnei hatzmai. It means there are basically two different pesach. I don't want to say Pesach, two different pesachim on the calendar. There's Pesach Rishon, and then there's Pesach Sheni. So the halacha says that you're supposed to bring Korban Pesach the first shot. You're supposed to bring a Pesach Rishon. For whatever reason you didn't, so then you have another opportunity, a different opportunity, a separate and distinct opportunity called Pesach Sheni. But Pesach Sheni, according to this understanding, is not really a makeup date. There are two equally valid times to bring Korban Pesach. Obviously, the Torah is pushing us in the direction to bring Pesach Rishon. Obviously, that's what you're supposed to do. But if for whatever reason you didn't bring Pesach Rishon, for whatever reason under the sun, you never got around to bringing Pesach Rishon, you have an independent obligation of Pesach Sheni. Well, do I say, no, Bechlal, that's not true. There's only one Pesach in the year. That's Yudalit Nisan is the only Pesach during the year. Elawat, the Torah, Kesh Baruch has Rachmanis on us and says, Nebuch, you didn't get a chance to do the mitzvah when you're supposed to. So we're going to give you a principle called Tashlumin. You can have a makeup date. You can have a second chance to do what you should have done a month ago. But we don't look at Pesach Sheni as an independent Yontif. We look at Pesach Sheni as a Tashlumin Derishon. So my nafkamina, but this is the nafkamina. If you view Pesach Sheni as an independent yontif, there are two psachim on the calendar. Either one is a valid time to bring Korban Pesach. So then, if I didn't bring Pesach Rishon for whatever reason, I was tamei dechachayka, wasn't Jewish, was a kaddish, I don't care why I didn't bring it. If you didn't bring Pesach Rishon, then for you it makes sense to bring Pesach Sheni. But if you view Pesach Sheni through the eyes, through the prism of tashlumin, so the principle of tashlumin makes sense that I'm being mashlim something, I'm making up something that I missed. I should have done X, I didn't get around to do it, so the Torah gives me a break and gives me Y to make up for X. But if I have nothing to make up, because I wasn't chayv in the first place, the Torah never spoke to me when it came time to bring X. X didn't speak to me a month ago. What am I making up? I'm making up something that didn't exist for me. It wouldn't make any sense to bring Pesach Sheni just in and of itself.
I think the principle of Hanzach on a patch to begin with, so there really should not have been... I didn't miss anything.
Well, I did. Well, Onus Rechman HaPatre just means Rosh Hashanah is not going to have any tainas against me, but Lamais HaMeschayev, the end of the day, I really was chayef to bring it, and I just didn't get around to doing it. So there's a big difference in the person who was tamei derech v'chayek, even if it was in Aynes, and the person who wasn't Jewish, the person who was under bar mitzvah. So that's the nekudas ha'machlokes is Rabbi Nelson. So the Tanoim have this, we would call today, this is like an achronish hakira. What's the relationship between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? Are there two separate chiyuvim, or is it one chiyuv with the tashlumen? So that was exactly the machlokes Rabbi and Rabbi Nelson. Rabbi was of the opinion that Sheni regel b'fnei atzmai, and therefore you can have Pesach Sheni even in the absence of an obligation for Pesach Rishon. Rabbi Nelson said, lohoyed v'me'olam, Sheni is only tashlumen. So this idea that the Gemara is telling us that, at least in the view of Rabbi Nelson, that Sheni is tashlumen the Rishon, everybody agrees to this principle that if and when something is a tashlumen, it only makes sense to have tashlumen when you had an ikar chiyuv. The only reason why Rebbe disagrees with Rabbi Nelson is because he had a different way of analyzing Pesach Sheni. But the lomdus of Rabbi Nelson is correct. Everybody subscribes to that lomdus, that if and when we have a particular model in halacha of a tashlumen, so then if you chayv in the ikar chiyuv, then there's tashlumen. If you're exempt from the ikar chiyuv, then it would be ludicrous, it would be absurd to talk about tashlumen. So that's not an argument. The argument is Pesach Sheni fit into that model or not? So this idea that there's a relationship between an ikar chiyuv and a tashlumen, this is something that appears in other sugyas as well, notably in the second of the Maamar Kamos, a sugya Maseches Chagiga, also starts out as a kachim sugya, but we can extract the principle for us as well. The Gemara is discussing the pasuk in, actually this is Parsha, the Chagosim also Chag LaShem Shabbos Yomim. The Torah says about sukkis, and that it applies to other Yom Tovim as well, that there's a mitzvah to be Chog, Chogig is also Chag LaShem. We have to celebrate, we have to make a festivity for 7 days. So the Brayse says, what is it? What do you do that? Tanya v'chagais v'so Chag LaShem Shabbos Yomim. What do the words mean? So Chag, in the halachic sense, doesn't just mean a holiday. Chag means a korban chagiga. There's a very, very specific korban that the Torah is referring to, that you have to bring a korban chagiga on each of the shalosh regalim. So how do you fulfill this mitzvah? Chagais v'so Chag LaShem Shabbos Yomim. So yochal yehi chagig v'halech kol shiva. I would think that there's a mitzvah to be chagig each and every day of Yontif. Each day of Yontif in Chol HaMoed, you have to bring a separate korban chagiga. I would have thought that, because if the Torah says, Chag LaShem Shivas Yomim, so Talmud Loimer, the pasuk says, no, Oso. The pasuk says, V'chagosim Oso, Oso is a Lashon Yochid. Oso means one day. Oso ata chagig, v'yata chagig koshiva. There is no obligation to bring a korban chagiga past one day. Imkein lama nema shiva. And why does the Torah almost lead us to an erroneous conclusion? The Torah presents the pasuk by saying v'chagos v'sol Hashem shivas yom. It's not true. There is no obligation to bring a korban chagiga 7 days. So what's the meaning of the end of the phrase shivas yomim? So the Torah Shabbat Peh explains to us in kein lamenem a shiva l'tashlumin. So the Brayse gives us the official Torah Shabbat Peh explanation of the pasuk that there are two dinim in the pasuk. There's a chiyuv to bring a korban chagiga on yontif, but that chiyuv is suffice with 1 day. And then the din of Shivas Yom is the din of Tashlumin. Uminayin, then, Mark continues, Uminayin Shim Lachag Yom Tim Varishan Shachag, Shaholech Chagig Vaholech is called a reg of Yom Tim Acharon. How do you know that if you missed bringing the Korban Chagiga the first day and the second day, Hoshana Rabba, the guy's still sleeping, all of a sudden he wakes up, Baruch Abu Shmini Yatzeres. How do you know he could still bring the Korban Chagiga even on Shmini Yatzeres? It's already not Shivas Yomim. So Tamalor Bechidesh Hashvita Chagig Vosel. At the end of the Pasuk says, Bechagos Zachar Hashem Shivas Yomim, Bechidesh Hashvita Chagig Vosel. So it's still Bechidesh Hashvi. So the Gemara says, even Chodesh HaShvi, if you take the phrase Chodesh HaShvi literally, Yochai Yechayu HaChodesh Kulo, maybe for the guy who woke up 3 days after Simchas Torah, it's Chav Ches Tishrei, you could still bring a carbon. Tavon Lama, Oso, no. Oso HaTachayeg, V'yatachayeg Chutz Aloi. It can't be past Yom Tov already. After Shvi HaTorah is already too late. So the Torah Shabbat Peh is maneuvering with the Pesukim a little bit and explaining to us, on the one hand, there's a din of you bring 1 day, a korban chagiga. On the other end, there's a tashlumen of 7 days. And there's a little bit of a quirk. There's an extra day of tashlumen for Shmini Yetzeres. But ad kedekach, ad kan v'le yoyser. Peh Shmini Yetzeres, you can't have tashlumen anymore. Good. So, ad kan, the first analysis of this pasuk. So now the Gemara continues and says, well, this Braisa just told us that there's a relationship of tashlumen here. There's a halachic concept of tashlumen here. So what does that mean? So it sounds like the first day you're supposed to bring the korban. If you didn't get around, you dilly-dally, so then there's tashlumen. So the Gemara wants to know, what does that mean? What do those words mean? My tashlumen. What do we mean when the Braisa tells us there's a concept of tashlumen for the korban chagiga? Rabbi Yechanan am a tashlumen l'rishayin. So Rabbi Yechanan says that it's tashlumen for the first day. What the Torah really wants, we should all go to Beis HaMikdash, opening day, the first day of Yontif, everyone should, Al-Kan's class, should bring their korban chagiga on the first day. Nebuch, there are going to be a few guys who straggle in a little bit late, the guys who overslept, the guys who missed the train, they didn't make it to Yerushalayim on time, and they're going to come in third, fourth day, Chalamot. Good. So for them, this Tashlumin. But if you want to know conceptually, what is the Tashlumin is all revolving around the first day. The Ikechi of Chagig is the first day of Yom Tov. Everything else is B'tar Tashlumin. That's Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Tashlumin. Rabbi Yoshia said, no, Tashlumin Zelazeh. Rabbi Yoshia said, the focus is not so much on the first day. It's almost, each day is almost an entity in and of itself. So the Torah says, bring it on the first day. That's great. It's reasonable to deal with the Father. We want you to bring it on the first day. For the God does bring it on the first day, no problem. Bring it on the second day. Is the second day a Tashlumin of the first day? Is the second day a makeup? Not really. Is the third day a makeup? Not really. Each day is just a separate entity. My bina, what's the difference? Who cares whether we view the din through the eyes of Tashlumin or whether we say, just bring it whenever you can? This is a big difference. Rabbi Zeira, chigya biyam risham, nispasha biyam sheni kibinayu. What if you have an individual who was potter from the Korban Chagiga on the first day? Why was he potter? Because he couldn't walk. He was on crutches. He broke his leg. And he's still on crutches. He can't walk properly on the first day. Why is he potter from Chagiga? Because the Torah says, how do you bring the Korban Chagiga? Shalosh Bram Bashana, Tachag Li, Shalosh Regalim. So the Gemara says the word regal means to kibashba with your feet. If a person can't walk to Yerushalayim with his own 2 feet, then he doesn't bring a Korban Chagiga. He's not obligated in all the mitzvahs of Aliyah L'Regel. That's why the very beginning of Maseches Chagiga talks about what's the Shia of Chinuch for the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Should you bring the 2-year-olds to Yerushalayim? The Mishnah says no. The child has to be old enough to be able to walk. If the kid kvetches, he has to be carried by his father. So he's like, Yilach Chinuch, he can't do the mitzvah properly. So Aliyah L'Regel requires you have to be able to walk, get up with your own 2 feet, and walk your way up to the Harbayis to bring the Korbanos. So if you have a person who can't walk because he's on crutches, he's a broken leg, he's a chigya b'yam rishon, even though he's healed, he went to the orthopedist first day chol moed, he's healed, he's able to walk, he's running, he's doing jumping jacks, doesn't matter. He's potter because Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the Gemara continues, tashlumin l'rishon, kevin l'chazib rishon l'chazib b'sheini. Rabbi Yochanan says, if you weren't chayiv in the first day, so you're not chayiv in subsequent days, because everything revolves around tashlumin l'rishon. Rabbi Eishiyam at tashlumin zelazeh. Rabbi Eishiyam says no, that you can theoretically bring the second day, the third day, the seventh day, the eighth day. Because each day is viewed on its own merits. So here once again, we have a very similar machlokes that we had between the Tanoim concerning the relationship of Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Is Pesach Sheni purely a type of a Tashlumin? Or is Pesach Sheni a separate entity with the Nafkamina being the fellow who was potter on the first, that can he become chayav for the second? So the Gemara has the identical lomdus, the identical model concerning the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel vis-a-vis the Korban Chagiga. Again, the same shaila. Is the first day everything and everything else is just tashlumin? Or is the first day, each day is independently significant? Now once again, everybody subscribes to the same principle that if and when something is tashlumin, there's no question that if you have a particular mitzvah that meets the model of tashlumin, if you're potter from the Ikra Chiyav, then you're potter from the tashlumin as well. So it's both of these gemaras that now set up the background for us for a din that is relevant. Unfortunately, we don't have Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni, Nebuch, Bezbanaz, Meheri, Bana Mikdash. We'll bring these dinim back to real life. But we still have dinim of tashlumin in halacha. There are other applications of tashlumin. And one of the most common examples of tashlumin is the notion of tashlumin for tefillah. We actually spoke a little bit about this in one of the previous shiurim, a little bit of a different type of issue. But of course, the Gemara tells us in the fourth parak of Maseches Brachos that if a person missed the shacharis, so he can make up 2 minchas, missed the mincha, makes up 2 maariv, missed the maariv, makes up the shacharis, etc., there's a principle of tefillas tashlumin. So if there's a principle of tefillas tashlumin, so l'chora, we should plug in the same type of idea. Sometimes you have a person who didn't daven, say he didn't daven shacharis, not because he wasn't chayiv in shacharis, he didn't daven shacharis because he overslept, he didn't daven shacharis, something happened. Yeah, if he was amazed, the Gemara says, and he intentionally didn't daven, he was negligent, then there's no, Chazal didn't give him a chance of tashlumin. But if it wasn't really his fault, he overslept, missed the alarm clock, whatever it was, so we're not happy with him, but we do give him the opportunity to make it up in the sense of tefillas tashlumin. So since Hilchos Tefillah, tefillas tashlumin, is working within the framework of tashlumin, is going to be bound by the principles of tashlumin that appear both for Pesach Sheni as well as for Aliyah L'Regel. So that's the source for a statement in Shulchan Aruch. Actually, not even in Hilchos Tefillah, it's in Hilchos Avelus, but it's really a reference to the din Hilchos Tefillah. So if we take a look at the third of the Ramakomos, the Shulchan Aruch in your day and Hilchos Avelus Shimon Beis is the siman about Aninus. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows, Misha meis lemeis b'Shabbos. If somebody passes away on Shabbos, so the dinim of Aninus are suspended on Shabbos. because you can't really do anything. The whole purpose of aninos, the reason why an onin doesn't do mitzvahs, is that has nothing to do with avelus. An awful does do mitzvahs. The reason why an onin doesn't do mitzvahs is because he's supposed to be involved in the kvura. So if he's going to go ahead and daven shachris, go ahead and put in his tefillin, go ahead and sit in the daf yomi for an hour, that's going to be a lack of kavanah meis. Rashi says that it's going to interfere with his practical ability to do the kvura. So therefore, we apply the principle of isik b'mitzvah potim in a mitzvah. And Taisa says even more than Rashi. Taisa says even if he's not going to do anything, it doesn't matter. Just the mere fact that he's going to go ahead and do mitzvahs, that's a contradiction to kavanah meis. Kavanah meis dictates that his mind should be completely focused on getting this kvura done, even if l'maisa he's not doing anything. This split second he's not doing anything. Taisa says doesn't matter. He should not be doing mitzvahs. Not only is he not obligated mitzvahs, he's not even allowed to do mitzvahs. Says Taisa. So all of these dinim are suspended on Shabbos because on Shabbos he's not doing anything. On Shabbos, what's he going to do with kvura? He's not going to do a kvura on Shabbos. So with Mela, the person who, somebody dies on Shabbos morning, so he's so almost a regular Shabbos in the sense of he does mitzvahs, he davens, he does whatever he would normally do. We had actually two cases this past Pesach where somebody was an onein, a technical, a theoretical onein, on the first days of Pesach. In one case, somebody was nifter right before Yom Tov. In the second case, somebody was nifter actually at the night of the Seder. So that becomes a very complicated story, what the status is vis-a-vis Yom Tov, vis-a-vis Pesach, vis-a-vis Aninus, Avelus, etc. It gets very, very complicated. But at least on Shabbos, it is very, pretty straightforward that there's no real Aninus. But now the minute that Shabbos is over, so then Aninus kicks in. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. Misha meis lameis b'Shabbos, yeichem motzei Shabbos b'lo Avdallah. So he does not reset Avdallah. He's not mechuyif to make Avdallah because he's not allowed to make Avdallah because he's not obligated in any mitzvahs. So he's not mechuyif to starve, even though normally the Gemara Pesachim says you're not allowed to eat before Avdallah. You're not allowed to eat before Avdallah if you're supposed to be making Avdallah. But if you're exempt from Avdallah, then there's no prohibition of eating. So the person eats, yochum atzai she'eats his atzai Shabbos below Avdallah. V'lo yispalel, and he doesn't daven ma'ariv, obviously, because once again, he's part of a mitzvah. V'lo b'boger kodim tevi'ah, kodim kavura. And he doesn't daven shachris the next morning either, once again, because the kavura hasn't taken place yet, so his bite is an onion. Let's say the kavur is very early in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. Once the kavur is over, then he should daven shacharis, because now he becomes chayev. If it's still enough zman, if it's still within zman kriyashmol, let him say kriyashmol. If it's still zman tefillah, let him say tefillah. Aval tefillah say erev lo yispalel. But the Shulchan Aruch says, what he doesn't do at that point is, he doesn't make up last night's ma'ariv. Ah, he didn't daven ma'ariv. So I would have thought, and he didn't daven ma'ariv, wasn't his fault, because he wasn't supposed to. So I would have thought that the person who didn't daven ma'ariv because of aninos should be required to make up the tefillah. So Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim that that's not true. The Rishonim say explicitly he does not make up the tefillah. Why is that? So Shulchan Aruch continues, this is not similar to the person who forgot Ma'ariv, has to daven Shacharis twice, because L'maisa, he wasn't Chayav to daven last night. He was an Oinei. The Halacha says he's Potter, he's also according to many Rishonim, to daven. So the Shulchan Aruch is quoting a distinction between an individual who was Chayav to daven but forgot to daven, in contrast to an individual who was Potter from davening in the first place. So where did the Shulchan Aruch get this from? Where did the Rishonim get this from? They got it right out of the Pesach Sheni Sugya. They got it right out of the Aliyah L'Regel Sugya, right out of Korban Chagigah. That means they extracted this principle that there's a difference between a fellow who forgot, a fellow who didn't get around, the first was Derech Rechoika, and a person who was Potter. So just as the Gemara says that the Koton, Shehigdo Ben Beis Psochim, according to Rabbi Nosson, who says that Pesach Sheni is Tashlumen, so there's no Tashlumen for the person who wasn't Chayev. And the same way the Rabbi Yechanan said for the person with a broken leg who gets healed on the third day of Chalamoy does not bring a Korban Chagiga, because both Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yechanan view those two mitzvahs of Pesach Sheni and Korban Chagiga through the prism of Tashlumen. So we may or may not accept those shitas in Nuchas Pesach Sheni and Nuchas Chagiga. I don't know what the din is. I have to check in Nuchas Kachim to see how we paskin. But everybody agrees to the idea that if and when we have identified a case of Tashlumen, so then if you're part of the Ikra Chiyav, then you're part of the Tashlumen. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, Nuchas Tefillah is a good example of this. So in Nuchanami, that is the din. So these dinim of Korban Pesach, Korban Chagiga, play out Lamaisa in the realm of Nuchas Tefillah. Okay.
Has, you know, it's totally different the characteristic of the heat of a very custom of
No, 100% true. That characteristic is different, but we have to focus on Afal Pichein, when Chazal instituted Hilchos Tefillah, and then they in turn instituted the principle of Tashlumin, so we have a rule called the Tikkun Rabbanan Ke'en Deraisa Tikkun. When the Chacham set up the formulation of something, they look to the structure, a pre-existing structure, Deraisa. So in the world of Deraisa, there's a principle of Iker and Tashlumin, so they instituted Tefillah Ke'en that as well. Right. Okay, right.
So we're saying even though they're differential, even though it's not the same model.
Right. Right. So you always have to, whenever you compare things in halacha and in life, right, we say this many times, you have to always look for what are the characteristics that are important and what are the characteristics that are tangential. So you're right. There are a lot of differences between Pesach and Tefillah. No question about it. One's Karis, one's Drabbanan, one's part of a Tzibar. There are a million differences. But Afa Bichain, the only difference that really makes a difference is the fact that one's an Iker and Tashlumin, and the other one, by golly, is also an Iker and a Tashlumin. So even within this distinction of the Shulchan Aruch, it's not always so clear where do you draw the line. At what point do you say that somebody is chayiv in the mitzvah but can't do it? At what point do you say that somebody is just not obligated in the first place and therefore there wouldn't be any tashlumin? So one of the big questions that the later posts can discuss in the Shulchan Aruch is about the following shot. What if you have an individual who is involved in some important mitzvah right now? And if they would come and ask a shayla, Rabbi, should I daven? Should I stop the mitzvah and daven shacharis? So the answer is no, because we would apply you the principle of oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah. So how does that play out? So there's no question we would tell him not to daven shacharis. He's already oisik in the mitzvah, and if he's not going to have time to daven shacharis, so he won't daven shacharis. So should we tell him to daven tashlumin or not? So some of the achrim said, absolutely. So the Taz writes, of course he has to daven, avada. Many people say, avada, avada. He has to daven tashlumin, because it's true that he's an onus from davening because he's involved in something else important. So we're not angry at him. We're not saying he's a peshe. He's not amazing. He's not negligent. On the other hand, he's a gavra who's chayiv in tefillah. And as such, he should be davening, quote unquote. And if he's not davening, that's okay. But then he has to daven tashlumin. And other achrayim say no. Now when you have a person who's an oisiv mitzvah, potter in mitzvah, that means he's potter from davening. He's like the katan, shehigdil, ben pesach rishon, ben pesach sheni. He's like the gesh in his gayer. He's like the chigesh in his rabbi. He's like those fellows back in Uchus Karim Pesach and back in Uchus Chagiga who were exempt. What do I care whether the poita was that he's under bar mitzvah, whether the poita was he's a goy, the poita was he had a broken leg, or the poita was he's an einain, or the poita was that he's in the middle of doing a tzorchei mitzvah right now. So this is a very, very important shaila. A lot of times you have these kinds of shailas, more for women than for men. Very often, even though we know the Mishnah tells us Nashim Chayavas B'Tefillah, and yes, there's the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether that means that women are technically obligated to daven Shemoneh Esrei. The Rambam's opinion seems to be that women are not literally obligated in Shemoneh Esrei. They're merely obligated to offer kind of a personal tefillah every day. They have to speak to the Rebbe Shalom in some shape or form every day. But the Ramban disagrees, and Mishnah Berurah says most of the posts can probably side with the Ramban. So our custom is that women do daven shachas, and they do daven mincha. Some women daven ma'ir, some women don't daven ma'ir. It's a different story. But shachas and mincha, we do strongly encourage women to daven, the full Shemoneh Esrei, right? Very often you have a situation where the woman can't daven. Why can't she daven? She's oisik b'mitzvah the entire morning. She wakes up in the morning, and this kid's screaming, that kid's screaming, and this one's got to get a diaper change. This one's got to get dressed. This one's got to get sent off to school. It's got a babysit. By the time she turns around, it's 11 o'clock in the morning, and she's ready after Zman Tefillah. So if she would call and ask a Shaila, Rabbi, should I daven? I'd say, no, don't daven. You're oisik b'mitzvah right now. You're doing chesed, taking care of your children. So right now, you're potter from Tefillah. If and when you get everything under control before Zman Tefillah is over, wonderful. And if you didn't get everything under control till after Zman Tefillah, so you were an oisik b'mitzvah. So now, mincha time, it's quiet. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so the kids are in school. The kids haven't come home yet. The baby's taking a nap, and she's ready to collapse, but now she realizes, Gevalta, I didn't daven shacharis this morning. So should I daven mincha twice? So it depends. So if you hold that the person who was the osekas b'mitzvah is chayeves in tefillah, it's just that we told her, don't daven right now because you were doing something else previously. So you had a p'tur in the sense of osekas b'mitzvah, but you're fundamentally bar chayuv in tefillah. So then we would insist on davening teshlumin. But if you hold that osekas b'mitzvah is mamish potur, it's like the goy, it's like the under bar mitzvah age, it's like the kibbutz of the person with the broken leg, it's like the ek d'ayinim. These are all examples of people who are mamish not mechuyv at all. So if right now, b'sheo sham, if I'm not chayv in the mitzvah, I'm doing osekas b'mitzvah, so then there wouldn't be any teshlumin for me. So that's how many poskim say. That's Mishnah Berurah quotes. That seems to be the view of most of the later achrayim. That such a person, if they're really subject to the p'tur of osekas b'mitzvah, there would not be any teshlumin. There is another question that the Rishonim raise, also extracting out of the sugyas of Korban Pesach and out of the sugyas of Chagiga, and it also plays out in the realm of Hilchos Haninos. If you take a look at the fourth of the Rambam Kamos, so the Rush quotes from the sugya in Maseches Brachas, Pata Mekriya Shema Min HaTfilah Min HaTfilah Chomitzah Bus Patera, that the Einin is Pata from all the mitzvahs. Amru, they told the following story. Shepam Achas Hoya Ri Zal Einin. One time the Ri was an Einin, and the following thing happened. The Ri was Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Rabbeinu Yitzchak was the nephew of Rabbeinu Tam. It is possible, I can't say for certain historically, it's possible that this story that's being described is the same story as the Rishonim quote in the days of Rabbeinu Tam, when Rabbeinu Tam's sister died. It happened to be Rabbeinu Tam's sister was the Ri's mother. That we know for a fact. And we know that the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam were very close to one another. The Ri actually grew up in Rabbeinu Tam's home. He was his Talmud Buvach as well as his nephew. So there is a famous story that's told in Maseches Brachas, the Bal Yatayis in the Rush, about Maisa Shahaya Kishabesa Achaisa Rabbeinu Tam, the mother of the Ri. And this may have been the same story. One was a story about Rabbeinu Tam, one was a story about the Ri. I can't say for certain. It doesn't say beferish in the story who the Ri was observing Aninus for, whether it was his mother, his father, and then another relative, I don't know. But if it was the same story, it was just interesting that a lot of, seemed to have been a very very hopping situation, a lot of shahs that came up. So Amru, Pamachas Hayah Rizal Einin V'achab L'Havdalah. He was in Einin, and it was Matzai Shabbos, and he ate without making Havdalah, which is what we said before. Amru Lo Tamidav, so his Tamidav said to him, V'navdol Fanecha, let us make Havdalah for you on Matzah Shabbos. So Amar Lahem, he's responded, no. Hamrinun birishami im bercha in anachrem amen. That an einin, not only does it make brachas, an einin does it avians amen to somebody else's brachas. So he says, it would be inappropriate for you to not make Havdalah for me. Ulamacharel, so the next day, Shabbam and Beisek Kfor, obviously couldn't do the Kfor, I guess in those days it was impossible, they couldn't do the Kfor at night. So the next day, when they came back from the Beisek Kfor, Amrulo, they said to him, lama incha is Havdalah? Why don't you make Havdalah now? It's Sunday morning. So they're asking the Rebbe, what's going on? Now you're eating as soon as Havdalah. What happened to Havdalah? And they said to him, to elaborate on the question, that Hamid and Tam Avdil, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim has a shayla of a person is not allowed to eat before Havdalah. So there's one opinion in the Gemara that says, if you ate before Havdalah, then you lost Havdalah that week. You can't make Havdalah anymore. And we don't pass like that. We pass it, even though you made a mistake and you ate, you're still allowed to make Havdalah. So they asked the Ri, why are you not making Havdalah? It's still Sunday. The Gemara says in Pesachim, you can make Havdalah till Tuesday. And the Gemara, we pass in Tam Avdil, even though you wait. So what's going on? So the Heishiv Lehem, so the Ri responded to them, the Achash Ha'isi Potter Emesh B'Shaschi of Havdalah. He said, since he was exempt from Havdalah last night, when the real Chiv was, Mishum She'isi Einin, because I was in Einin, Gam Ata Potter Ani, so I am still Potter, and for me there's no Tashlumin. And the Ri's now trying to bring, he had the Ri's sitting, it's the first day of Shiva. He just came back from the basic verse, and his Tamid Machafra, and asking, Rebbe, what's going on? He said, okay, Tari Lamda Nitzach, they want to know the din. So the Ri answered them, I don't make Havdalah now, because I was Potter last night. And which Gemara does it bring as a Raya? She came at Tzidah, Brekam to Chagiga, Chigya B'yam Rishem, Espasha B'yam Sheini, Kevin Shadidcha B'yam Rishem, Shuvin Echiyya B'yam B'yam Sheini. He brought the second Gemara. He could have just as easily brought the first Gemara from Pesach Sheini, which would have been nice for our topic. But as we start off the Shiva, I think it's the same sugi. It's the same exact discussion. The bottom line is, you see from both of those sugis in Kachim, that when you're Potter from the Ikra Dova, you're Potter from the Tashlumin as well. So notwithstanding the Ri's, Raya, and the Maisa, she was Mamish Paskin, Swain Lamaisa, the Rush records that Rabbeinu Meirzal, the Nuremberg, it's a question whether this was a typo, whether it's supposed to be Rutenberg. Normally when the Rush quotes the Rabbeinu Meir, he's referring to the Mamish Rutenberg. There was a city, it's Nuremberg, there's a city, of course, we know in Germany of Nuremberg, and the city of Rutenberg. So I'm not sure whether this was, you have to check in the Rush itself, whether there was a different gears about this. Whoever it was, Rabbeinu Meir, even the regular one or another one, if somebody dies on Shabbos and not buried until tomorrow, and they didn't make Havdalah Motzei Shabbos, nearly, so it appear that they're allowed to eat without Havdalah. The Rishami says, not only you potter, but it would be foolish for you to do mitzvahs. So there's no question that he doesn't make Havdalah Motzei Shabbos, and there's no question he's allowed to eat. If Yom HaMachra, says Rabbeinu Meir, La'acha Shenikva Meisa, Osa Lechalat Sheyavdil. But the next day, Zokter Rabbeinu Meir, he better recite Havdalah. The kind of Rabbi Pesachim, because we paskin Maseches Pesachim, Ta'am Avdil, that just because a person ate, he could still make Havdalah. V'yamina nami, Mishla Hivdu Mevetzei Shabbos, Ma'adah Lechal Shabbos Kula, and the Gemara qualifies it by saying at least until Tuesday night. So Rabbeinu Meir is in effect saying what the Talmidim of the Ring wanted to say. The Talmidim were chuppering their Rebbe and saying, Rebbe, why don't you make Avdola? And he told him a whole razzle dazzle, quotes about Gemara in Chagiga. And Rabbeinu Meir says, Takhle Talmidim are right. So what's the Nekudas of Machlokes? What are they arguing about? What's the fight between Rabbeinu Meir and the Ri, whether it is appropriate to make Avdola or not appropriate? So the answer is, it goes right back to our original question. The Gemara says in Psachim that there's a mitzvah to make Avdola Mitzvah Shabbos. And if you can't make Avdola Mitzvah Shabbos, then you make Avdola till Tuesday. So what's pshat in that halacha? How do you understand that? So you can understand that in one of two ways. Either you can understand that the real chiv of Avdol, the chiv is Mitzvah Shabbos. Elohat, if you missed Mitzvah Shabbos, there's a teshlumen. But the guy Nebuch, he couldn't find wine Mitzvah Shabbos. He overslept. He woke up Sunday morning, he forgot to pick Avdol. So for him, there's teshlumen. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Toshki on Tuesday. But the relationship between Avdol on Tuesday and Avdol on Mitzvah Shabbos is a relationship of teshlumen. If that's the case, so then the Ri is 100% correct. So once you're potter for the Ikar Chiyuv, then you're potter for the Teshlumen. It doesn't speak to you. Just like Rabbi Nassim's version of Pesach Sheni. Just like Rabbi Yechon's version of Chagiga. Just like the Din Shulchan Aruch about Hechos Tefillah Teshlumen. So too, the reset, Havdalah, is the fourth in that series. It's another type of a mitzvah which has an Ikar Chiyuv, namely Motzei Shabbos, till Tuesday night of Beteres Teshlumen. Whoever is exempt from Ikar Chiyuv cannot have Teshlumen. What did Rabbeinu Meir hold? He clearly disagreed. He clearly held that the Havdalah model is closer to Rebbe's version of Pesach Sheni, closer to Rabbi Eish's version of Korban Chagiga, namely that the Takonis HaChamim was, you make Havdalah until Tuesday night. That's it. Of course, you should try to make Havdalah until Shabbos. Why should Lechat Chila wait till Tuesday afternoon to make Havdalah? But the bottom line is, the fellow who makes Havdalah on Tuesday afternoon, the fellow who made Havdalah until Shabbos, it's the same Havdalah. It's not that one's an Ika, one's a Teshlumen. It's mamish the same Havdalah. Vayachos Tefillah, the guy who daven Shachris Bezman and the guy who daven two Minchas are not the same. One is davening the Ikra Tefillah, and one's davening a Teshlumen. They're different Chalashems of Tefillah. But when it comes to Havdalah, so the Rebbeinu Meir said that fundamentally it's really the same. So again, we see that each and every time you have this type of relationship of a halacha, where there's a starting time and then there's almost a continuation time, whether it's Korban Pesach, whether it's Korban Chagiga, whether it's Chos Tefillah, Havdalah, you have to always ask yourself the same question: is this begeder Teshlumen, or is this really just an independent chiyuv, not really b'taras Teshlumen? How do we paskin on the last of these shailas? So Shulchan Aruch, we actually paskin like Rabbeinu Meir against the Ri. We paskin that the person who became no longer an einin on Sunday does in fact recite Havdalah. That's the reason why in Hilchos Tisha B'Av we have the same practice. The same shaila repeats itself every few years when Tisha B'Av falls out, either on a Sunday or it falls out on Shabbos and Yichud to a Sunday. So you don't make Havdalah on Tisha B'Av night itself. You can't drink the wine. Nobody makes Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos. So there's Machlekes and Rishonim, should you make Havdalah on Sunday night? So some Rishonim say you don't make Havdalah on Sunday night for the same reason. You're potter on Motzei Shabbos. It's Tisha B'Av, so there's no takana. Kach tikvi chachamim, that there's no takana sachamim making Havdalah on Tisha B'Av when Motzei Shabbos of Tisha B'Av. Once you're potter Motzei Shabbos, it doesn't make any sense. It's not Tashlumin. You're going to make up Sunday night for what? There's no Tashlumin. Once you're a part of the Ikki, you're part of the Gamri. And the other Visham, where we pass in Shulchan Aruch and Chos Tisha B'Av, is the other way. And that's why Ruchas Aninus, we also pass in the other way. They know that the din of Avdalah is, you can make Avdalah till Tuesday night. That's the takon of Avdalah. It's nice to make Mitzvah Shabbos, but fundamentally it's the same thing. It's really the same Ikki Chiyav. It's not Peteris Tashlumin. So again, each and every time we see in Halacha, both Korban Pesach, Pesach Wisha, Pesach Sheni, Chagiga, Chos Tefillah, Chos Avdalah, anytime you have these kinds of models, you have to always ask yourself that question: what is the relationship? Is it Tashlumen or not? And the answer is not always the same. In some areas of halacha, it's one way; other areas of halacha, maybe the other way. But again, the root of the issue, the shailas, even the lemaisa shailas, ultimately have their background in the sugyas of Pesach Sheni. So even though the Pesach Sheni sugya itself is not 100% hung in the gel lemaisa, the underlying halachic principles very much does play out lemaisa even for us today.
That becomes a bardas would be brought down here, right?
It wasn't. It's the same. Yeah, it's the same thing. Same as kantor. Yeah, kantor, cherish, and kantor. The same. Yeah.